everyone. This is Sean Miller, reporter at the Traverse City Record Eagle for On the Record. And today we have the whole group of the Accidentals here for a podcast. We're just going to talk, ask some questions. So welcome, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
First and foremost, I know Michael's kind of new, so to say, to the band. But for our listeners who may not know, how'd you guys meet?
Yeah, Savannah and I, we met probably like 5 or 6 years ago. We were both in Traverse City West's high school orchestra program. So I was playing cello, Savannah was playing violin, and we both volunteered for a project for the Alternative Styles Club, which was our like little dorky group of people who would play Coldplay and Led Zeppelin covers after school got out. And we kind of just formed a friendship, and then we decided, hey, we should form a band. And we played for about 3 years before we met Michael.
Cool. So why the name The Accidentals?
The Accidentals is a music theory term that refers to sharps, naturals, and flats, which basically means that in a key signature, when you're looking at it, you don't expect to see those weird notes happen. But and when you're looking at it, it doesn't look like they would work. But when you hear it, it makes a whole lot of sense. Gotcha. So that's what it refers to. But we're also really accident prone. So
yes,
it's multiple.
Works on many levels.
Works on many levels.
Was getting Michael on board an accident, so to say, or did it kind of come naturally?
I mean, kind of. Well, the funny thing is I knew them for a year, and they didn't know that I played the drums, because I was very much in kind of like a singer-songwriter-y phase. So then one day I kind of dropped it on them, like, hey, can I throw some drums on this track that you sent me? And they're like, you play drums? We're looking for a drummer. So it was kind of an accident in me revealing my drummerness to them.
Cool. Well, kind of talking about, I guess, drumming, and you said you were kind of a singer-songwriter. What would you say are some of your musical influences? You can all answer if you want.
I mean, for most, I think, like, we all agree on a few artists, like Andrew Bird, for sure, Sufjan Stevens. I'm a big fan of The National. You're liking St. Vincent?
Yeah, totally. Love St. Vincent. We love artists that incorporate orchestral music, and I think, like, part of my background is, like, you know, classical and a little bit of jazz and bluegrass. And I was just going on a Dixie Chicks binge the other day. I recognize all this music, like, growing up. And so I think all of that definitely influences. I know Savannah, like, definitely comes from, like, Nickel Creek and some of those bands.
Well, yeah, that was part of how I grew up. But the other big part was I was also in classical orchestra programs, learning how to play from that. And I was doing a lot of folk gigs and playing by ear, as well as, you know, sitting in on jazz sessions, which I still kind of do today. And then the music I really listened to growing up was Queen and Radiohead and Foo Fighters. So that kind of leads to a melting pot and a fusing of different genres, which I think has carried through our band ever since we started.
Sure. So flip side of the question, what music do you like to listen to? Like, I guess what's not...
Queen,
what,
Radiohead, and Foo Fighters.
Not anything crazy.
Some things don't change.
Yeah.
I have weird music tastes.
Like what?
Oh, goodness. I'll listen to really, really heavy, like, rap stuff like Death Grips, or I will listen to the sweetest, like, you know, recordings of Emil Pandolfi playing, you know, Satie's Gymnopede.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff like that. And so it's like very, very...
Pretty sure you stole that one from my playlists.
No, that one, I heard
that
one.
I listened to that one first. I wrote a song about
Katie
it
did.
In high school.
She claims it first.
Bam.
And then we all listened to it after.
See,
that.
This is a good
and
example of how we
110% certain you stole it from
no,
me.
We spent too much time together.
I heard it when I was really young, but I'm going to write like a Death Cab version of it, and it's going to be amazing.
Heck yeah.
Cool. Well, kind of to jump back, so you brought on Michael, but you also kind of brought on someone else this year, Jake, who used to be with the Cookies out of Cleveland. How did that come about?
Well, we were in the process of mixing our album Odyssey, which we just released in August with Sony Masterworks. That's our debut. Like, we really were so surprised to have label interest in us once we put out our Parking Lot EP, which had our song Michigan and Again on it. And then, so we went to Echo Mountain Studios and recorded this album. And we were having a really hard time capturing the fullest extent of each song. You know, it's easy to try and make songs fluent on an album. Like, you want fluency, but you also have to find the balance between that and letting each song speak for itself. So we were having a really hard time finding the right mixes for that to have the album really speak. And we knew that we wanted to get into a studio and kind of do it ourselves for some of it. And so we saw that Jake Allen had set up his own studio and he was doing really well. And so we called him up and we're like, you want to help us mix the last half of this album? He said yes.
Prior to that, like, we've been friends with Jake for a long time. Like, Michael used to grow up watching him play at BlizzFest.
I knew him before I knew you.
And then, like, last December, like, he asked me and Sav to play strings on his album that he's been working on for 4 years and he's about to put out. But
yes, he finally finished mixing it.
Yeah, we had a lot of collaboration back and forth, so we were like, yeah, that's the perfect place to do a little bit of extra mixing for the album.
So after he was done mixing it, he kind of knew a lot of the material by then, and we had had so many collaborations on this album with Jenny Conley and Keller Williams and Khaki King, we just ran out of hands to cover all the parts. And so we asked him, we're like, do you want to go on tour with us for this album release and cover some of these collaboration parts? And what ended up happening is that he ended up playing keys for most of our set. Sometimes he'd pull out guitar and kind of cover those parts. It really filled out the sound for the time being, but he's also doing his own solo thing, which we knew from the beginning, and so now he's booked himself a tour. He's headed out at the same time we are. We're just heading in different directions, and he's doing really well for himself.
Cool. So, Katie, you had mentioned BlizzFest, and I know you guys from BlizzFest. I used to be in Petoskey, for listeners that don't know, at the News Review up there, and I know you guys from probably, I don't know, 3 years back, at least. Mm-hmm. But can you talk specifically about the last year, kind of 2017? I know it was a pretty big year for you guys. Going on tour and the album. And
oh, yeah, I can't really remember where it started and
I
ended.
Yeah, I have to take a second to wrap my mind around.
We finished tracking Odyssey fall 2016. Okay. And it was after, you know, 2016 was really kind of a crazy year. And that fall, you know, so much chaos was going on, like, in the world landscape and the political landscape and, like, the musical landscape. While we were recording, and we ended up mixing, like Sav said, in the winter with Jake and with some other people, all the way up until around January, and then we hit the road. So we started with, you know, a really cool tour with Martin Sexton, who's one of our favorite artists, and we played so many shows last year, in addition to finishing, signing the deal with Sony Masterworks, putting out Odyssey and with a bunch of singles and some music videos.
We're actually releasing our music video for Earthbound on the 10th.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to ask about that later.
So it's still going. This only happened in August, like we said. You know, we just put out this album. All the rest has been kind of the footwork getting there. You know, we went to South By and we went to a couple different conferences. We're doing the same thing again this year, just in different spots. Yeah. It's a continual build. And
we finished our longest tour ever.
Yeah, the 70-day tour across the United States was both really intense and really rewarding. And I feel like we're not going to do that kind of travel for a while. I think most of our year looks like 2 week long stints and then coming home again. And so it's balanced. And we have been, you know, learning slowly how to manage our time and split our lives in different directions, but also, you know, maintain focus. And so that's been the goal for the past couple of years, and we really feel like all the pieces that we set it out to do are locking into place.
Sure. Well, I know it was a crazy year, but if you could wrap it up in one word and or one sentence, what would that be?
Hashtag Odyssey Boldly.
Hashtag Odyssey Boldly.
2017.
It's 2018 now.
Yeah, true. Now we're
I would say it's true that we, you know, keep moving forward boldly is what we kept telling ourselves, and change the story is another one too. You know, I was just telling somebody else the other day, we've had a lot of times where, you know, we started out at 16. There's been stereotypes built around young musicians from an early age, around female musicians too, and the key is to be kind and to change the story for people who might have built one already. You know, go in with an air of professionalism, work really hard, improve yourself in that way, and the rest will change, you know?
Sure.
So that's kind of our motto, and probably always will be, you know? So it's good to have that out there.
Yeah. So coming off the end of that tour, I guess, what does 2018 look like for you guys? And following that mission that you guys have, what would you say 2018 looks like?
Yeah, I think, like I said, we're going to keep touring. That's the best way that we can get out there and, I don't know, just kind of explore the music industry further and see where it takes us. We're already working on
one of our bucket list goals is to go to Europe.
Oh. Yeah, it was our bucket list.
We're hoping that would happen late this summer.
We're hoping in August, yeah. And then, you know, we're already working on demos for the next album. As crazy as that is, we're, you know, trying to push out Odyssey as much as we can and also learn to balance the past and the future, and that can be tricky, but, you know, we're excited about it anyway.
Sure. So looking back then, so we just look forward a little bit, so looking back, do you have any memorable moments over the last year? For your last 70 dates or whatever you told me.
Yeah. We have 8 breakdowns between our van and trailer on one tour.
Jeez.
We had 8. Yeah. That was memorable.
How'd that happen?
Well,
just got breaking down.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, that van is not.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be pulling like a huge, really heavy trailer full of equipment. And we actually have pared down a little bit since then. And we replaced tires, and we replaced transmission, and we went from calling it the No Fear Tour to calling it the No Gear Tour, just because everything can fall apart. But, you know, in some ways, I really enjoy that, because it's always given us an opportunity to grow and learn something new about it and become stronger for it. You know, I never feel afraid of what's going to happen next anymore. I feel more prepared than I ever have because of this career. So,
sure.
You know, that's been really a memorable point for me. But what about you guys?
I really liked some of the festivals we did this summer. We went all over the place this year for festivals. And one of my favorites was in Colorado, Four Corners Fest?
Pagosa Springs?
Yes, in Pagosa Springs. And just all of the musicians that were there and the staff were, like, wonderful, like, awesome food. And we got to meet Abigail Washburn while we were there. So that was pretty awesome. That was a really good festival that I think, you know.
What about you, Kate?
My favorite thing that happened this year is still my favorite ice cream store, Moomers, making accidentals. We got in making our own accidentals ice cream. That happened 2017.
That happened 2017, wow. It happened towards the beginning, right? Or like April,
March. It was like summertime, I think. Like, yeah, it's just, that was a really cool moment.
That was.
It was like a cherry ice cream, right?
Cherry with blueberry swirl.
And lots of
blueberry
cream.
With cherry swirl. Wasn't it?
Katie has a food blog too, so we leave all the food decisions to her.
I need to ramp it up now that we're going back into touring mode.
Sure.
I just take pictures of random food experiences that we have, like going to get frozen custard in the middle of the night, trying to meet up with, you know, random people. You know, interesting things happen when you're on the road.
Well, to follow up on the food thing, my coworkers told me I should ask what your favorite snack on the road is.
I really like jalapeno anything, especially like potato chips. I actually have a crippling problem with potato chips, so that's my big weakness. But I also, you know, when we go to gas stations, we'll pick out all the cheese and fruit and stuff, and we have this competition at Whole Foods now where we all try to get as much food as we can at Whole Foods for under $20. It's a contest, and I usually win. Not gonna lie. Sorry, guys.
Mine was exactly 20.
Wow. Mine was $19.99. No, I'm kidding. I don't remember what it was. Probably not that.
I like snacky stuff. I definitely agree with, like, especially salt and vinegar chips are, like, the best thing in the world on the road. But when we were on this last tour, I bought this giant tin of walnuts and was just eating that for like a week.
I've also seen Michael go through an entire bag of Goldfish by himself.
Yeah, they flavor blasted Goldfish, if I remember.
An hour. If I just am not paying attention,
it's really
gone.
Easy.
It's funny how easy it is to memorize your bandmate's food choices, too. Like, you go to a restaurant and you're like, Michael, there's chili. There's chili on the menu. He's like, that's all I'm getting.
My favorite thing is that, like, I like to think that, like, we've, like, garnered all these healthy habits, and I'm like, yeah, I eat like beef jerky and like, you know, things. And then we toured with this guy, Brian Raitz, on the last tour, who's he's a friend of ours, and he came on to help out with some tour managing. And he, like, we would turn around at like 2 a.m. we would do one of our indulgent Taco Bell stops. He'd be eating like a head of broccoli and like a thing of celery.
He'd be like, can I get a taco without the shell, without the cheese, without the meat, just the lettuce? Can I have just the lettuce?
He's very creative. Very creative getting his, every day he needed veggies. I
It was impressive. It's really hard to maintain that lifestyle on the road, but if you can do it, all the more to you, you know.
Yeah, and he was only on for the back half of that tour. I would have liked to see that stretched out to like the full 70 days.
P.S. Katie's Instagram food blog is Katie Eats Food.
Katie.eats.food. Find me. Now the pressure is on.
For Instagram as well.
My personal Instagram, and I might
don't tell people
Instagram,
your personal
and
Instagram.
I have,
what is wrong with you?
Occasionally, I contribute to it. The accidental.
What is wrong with you?
Well, speaking of Instagram, this is where I found it. But Savannah, we were talking before about it before we hit record. But you recently got a new violin.
I did.
Yeah. So what? What's the story behind that?
Well, I'm still not over it.
Oh no.
I'm kidding. We were at Third Coast Records in Grand Haven? Is it Muskegon or Grand Haven? It's around the area. And so I left my violin. I was a double violin case, so I had both my acoustic and my electric violins in it. And I left it on the curb, and I thought we were all packing up the band and trailer, so I figured somebody had grabbed it, because that's usually the case. Our sound guy was there, we had extra tour managers, everything. So I got in the car, and I look out the window. As we're pulling away, I look out the window, and I realize my violin case is on the side of the road, not where I put it, and it looks really bad. I'm like, oh, my God. So we get out of the car, and Michael runs across the street and grabs the case and brings it over, and we open it up, and both my violins are, like, shattered.
Oh,
like,
no.
The electric violins are crushed in where the scroll snapped off the acoustic violin. Everything is a mess. There's no getting it back, you know? Like, there's nothing to save. There's no way I can take it on tour. And this is the first day of our 20-day nonstop November leg of tour. Like, we didn't have a day off.
Oh,
there was
man.
No day to recover or, like, get anything else for backup. So, literally, we drove across the state after that to Burton, where Mark Schwartz Violins is. And this guy is amazing. I always go to him. I snapped an upright bass in half one time, and he fixed it for nothing. So,
wow.
I went over to him, and he gave me a double violin case that I could borrow. He gave me a pickup that I could borrow for an acoustic violin. Then he gave me an acoustic violin to borrow, and he said he was going to take care of everything. So, I'm still using the double violin case. I ordered a new one. And then at the same time, I called my electric violin guy, Brandon McDougall. He runs a company called Liquid Violins out in Ojai. And at the time, there were all those wildfires going on. So it was a really, like, crazy, stressful time out in California. And he's right in the middle of it. And so he managed to get this violin done, a new violin, in time to have to evacuate his house. Like, he had to leave his workshop and everything. He grabbed three things, and one of them was the violin that I currently use today. So, and he came back, and everything's fine. Like, his workshop is fine, but just the fact that, like, that's what happened really blows my mind. And, you know, we're just surrounded by that kind of kindness all the time. And as a result, I have everything I need for the next tour, like, literally less than a month later. You know, like, I have everything I need because of the community that surrounds us and because of the people who take care of us. So, yeah, and I also, around that same time, I found I inherited my grandfather's violin, which had been sitting out on display for years and years and years. And I finally looked at it, and I realized it's 106 years old, so it was made during Teddy Roosevelt's presidency and, like, San Francisco fires and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. So things just worked out really serendipitously, accidentally, as they do.
Yeah. Well, looking into the future now, so I know, again, we talked about it right before we hit record, but or maybe it was when we were recording, but you guys are going to be teasing, or you have been teasing on Facebook and social media, this new video for Earthbound. And by the time this is out, the video will be out. But I guess, can you just talk about why you chose that song and kind of, I guess, what this video is going to be?
Yeah, I guess that question does. I'm sorry, I know I've been talking a lot, but that question really pertains to me. I wrote this song based on an issue I had since I was a kid with chronic nightmares. Basically, I was lucid in them, but I never felt like I could control my environment, and it was a really hard thing to go through, and I didn't talk about it for, like, 10 years. I just didn't, because I was worried that it was a burden for other people, and that, you know, people would think I was crazy. I didn't want to go to, like, sleep clinics. I didn't want to, like, seek help for it, because there was also this delusion I was building that it was making me stronger, and that was the way that I kind of sheltered my pain. And so I didn't touch it for a long time. And then it hit a pinnacle point where I woke up in the middle of the night and was like, I'm in shock. And I just kept thinking that because of this really horrible imagery. And I ended up singing it into my iPhone, and it turned into this song, which then turned into the music video, which we filmed at the state hospital. We really couldn't think of a better place to film it at, because that building is all about healing. Like, it was made to help heal people who struggle with mental illness or any sort of processing that isn't the usual, you know? And so it was really a place where I kind of got closure eventually. Like, you know, as we were filming, there were parts of it where I just felt like I was finally coming to terms with the fact that, you know, this is something that I needed to deal with. This is something I'm finally able to talk about. And, yeah, it was a really healing process. And I eventually, you know, by talking about it, I did seek help. I got help out of it. I feel a million times better. I started taking natural supplements, which I know they have kind of a weird reputation. People don't think they work, but, you know, for some people, they really do, you know. And so I feel a million times better. And Traverse City had a lot to do with that, just the history behind that hospital and, you know, the closure I was able to reach with it. And so that's what you can expect from the video, is a lot of healing, a lot of and truth to it. It's a hard video. It's a hard song, but, you know, once you come to terms with the fact that there is something that you need to overcome, that's the hardest part, and then the rest kind of falls into place.
Sure. And I haven't seen it. I've only seen the teasers, but just hearing what you've been talking about, it sounds like there'll be a lot of cool imagery.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, I've heard the song myself before, so I kind of know what it's about, but why choose Earthbound over other songs? Was it just because of that, or why as a band did you choose Earthbound off?
Oh, I think it's a really important topic to talk about right now. You know, sure. we're in a time where I think a lot of people are really scared, and especially they're scared because they don't want to have to come to terms with the fact that they might process things differently. You know, there's such a stigma around mental illness and mental processing that we find it easier just to say nothing at all about it sometimes. And I think one big thing with us is to show that music really has a healing capability. And that's, you know, been part of our message from the beginning. But to be able to show it now as part of our introduction to the national and international scene, I think it's a worthy place to start, because, you know, what is music if it's not connection? You know, what's the point of putting yourself out there if you're not trying to make a connection with somebody who might have gone through something similar? And we find the easiest way to connect is to try and speak about something truthfully, try to normalize it for other people and really build a genuine, authentic connection from it. Not just put our music out there and see what happens. More like try to build a relationship through healing.
Sure. And then Earthbound, obviously kind of space related.
Oh, yeah. So it's definitely about NASA, yeah, too.
So what's up with the NASA suits? I got to ask. So I saw awesome. You guys. Sorry. Well, I saw you guys up in Petoskey for the March for Science,
oh, yeah,
and you were all wearing them.
Yeah.
And I think I took your picture quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what's up? It's all over your social media.
Well, the other thing.
Wearing the orange jumpsuits.
Yeah, the other thing is my grandfather worked for, as the head of Borg Warner for Viking 4's mission to Mars, NASA's mission to Mars. And so I kind of have that sense of pride, and I tend to rock NASA whenever I can, but we're all, like, super advocates for education, for schools, for science, for anything having to do with that. So, plus we thought the NASA suits were hilarious, and we want to be like children and rainbow seekers every once in a while.
Yeah.
No, cool. They are hot, though. We wore them at Electric Forest this year.
I bet.
And by the time our set ended, I was, like dripping, just like, oh my gosh, it was like its own atmosphere in that suit.
The worst part is we left them, once we were done with Electric Forest. You want to tell the story, Katie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so picture five suits. We picked them up in Oklahoma at this little shop when we were on the road. We're like, these are so cool. And our tour manager, Amber, she's like, I'm going to get some suits for everyone. And so everyone had them, including Jake, including our sound engineer. We all sweat through them super hard. And then it started pouring down rain in the middle of the forest. And we had to run and go to another show, I think, in the middle of the night. So everyone is taking our gear through the muddy forest. It's pouring down rain. We get in the car. We put all of the suits into this tiny duffel bag, and no one touches it for, like,
4 months.
Yeah,
oh,
for
no.
a long time.
No.
And then as time went on, it became more and more terrifying, the idea of opening it up and seeing what happened in the hot car. And like,
I probably could have dealt with it. I don't have a sense of smell, but I think it also came down to just utter laziness.
We ended up calling them the nasty suits. Instead
okay.
of the nasty suits.
The nasty suits,
but
yeah.
then we washed them, and now they're all
good. That's good.
Eventually we did wash them.
Sure.
we're usually good about everything else. Just when it comes to, like, laundry, it's like, no, we don't really get laundry machines out on the road all that often, you know? And plus, like, you know, how are you going to explain, like, bringing a laundry bag into somebody's house and pulling out 5 NASA suits and be like, can I throw these in your washer? Like, a little more awkward.
There are worse things.
It's true. Shout out to Marshall Music for fixing up this guitar and making it sound really great. They're in Traverse City. Check them out. Here we go.
Back in Traverse City, so Savannah, I know you've been talking, so I'll ask Michael and Katie.
Please ask them a question.
How's it feel to be back? Well, Michael, is this home for you, Traverse City?
It is a home. I think over the last 3 years,
it's a home.
Yeah. Well, because you know, I'm originally from downstate, and sure. So that's where I technically live. But coming up to Traverse City, I mean, I've gotten to know the city over the last few years, and I mean, I feel as comfortable here, you know, driving around town and getting the stuff done as I do, you know, back at the house that I grew up at. So I love it here, and I love the food and just the activities that go on, and you know, there's so much to do that I don't always get to do when I live downstate, you know. And it always takes me a minute to remember, like, you know, if I'm driving somewhere, I'm like, oh, by the way, you should look to your right because there's a lake there. And you don't always get to see that. True. So, yeah, I love being up here in Traverse City.
Sure. And does it feel good, Katie, to be home after all the days on the road?
Yeah, it's so interesting being home. Our last show was November 17th, up until the last gig we played in New Year's. So
the
we
Founders,
had,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Founders, which was so much fun. We did two shows. And
I watched the live stream of that.
Oh, yay.
That was sweet.
Yeah, it was so funny. We were like, oh, no, we haven't played a show in a month. I don't think I've really seen Michael other than two or three days during that break. But it clicked right again as soon as we got back together, which was really nice. But when we're apart, it's all about finding that balance of managing your time, which is so difficult, especially, not only, managing families, because Sav and I, our houses are, 5 minutes away from each other, so we're hanging out with our families and our significant others. My boyfriend lives kind of between Arkansas and Nashville right now, so
okay.
I'm kind of doing this weird triangle, seeing all the families because the holidays, that's another busy time. And luckily, we kind of put aside a little bit of time to write, so Savannah and I could kind of find our way back to the creative process after being on the road and negotiating, business deals. It was really nice to kind of get back and finish writing. I got sick for a week, so all the demos sounded really bad at
first.
Yes,
we allowed me to get sick.
They're demos, though, so.
But yeah, it was I'm just sick and I can be home. This is so great. I don't have to play a show. I can. But, no, for sure, it's that fluctuation of, we have that adventure, gene, so sometimes we're we kind of want to, get back out there and do something.
Sure.
But it's really hard to... The idea of leaving too, I'm tired. I don't.
I actually feel pretty good.
Well, you have a couple gigs coming up, but you do have one at Interlochen right here, in your hometown, so to say, Traverse City area.
Yeah, it's almost sold out actually.
Yeah.
Which is mind blowing.
We had no idea that the tickets would.
We sold most of them in the first day. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is.
How's that feel? That's gotta be a great feeling.
It's amazing.
It
felt
great.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of blew my mind, actually. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. And, I mean, at the same time, it's not that surprising because Travers has always been, a home for us and a huge community of music lovers and supporters. I mean, they've dropped so much time and investment on this band, in the past. It's really been our home base. So,
awesome.
But it's still crazy,
Yeah. And besides Interlochen, where else can we expect to see you guys?
We'll be back in the summertime. Our manager, Amber, she still runs Fountain Point Fest. Paul, is she doing it this year? We'll have to ask her if she's doing
this year. We'll find out.
She's your mom, right?
So we'll be at Fountain Point, though, this summer for sure. And we'll be around Michigan in the summertime before August. We're really
Definitely.
Hoping to leave overseas.
We'll be for sure at Fountain Point on Father's Day.
Yes.
And then
we've done that 3 years
ago.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'm gonna try to get my parents to come up this year because they haven't the last time.
Yeah.
So
we always try to do tons of outdoor concerts in Michigan in the summer. So we always do that. We have a couple shows in Grand Rapids booked, but other than that, we've got East Coast in January and
West Coast in February, March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're headed to South by again. We're doing APAP in a couple weeks in January. We're doing. Folk Alliance in February.
Oh, very cool.
All over the place,
yeah.
But, we've got a really solid team behind us now, too, and that's really exciting to have people who have spent their whole lives working to be the best at something who are now invested in you, in your music. And so we're not taking that for granted at all. We are fully embracing that and really kind of coming into our own in the music industry a little bit this year.
Sure. And besides Europe, do you have any other big plans for 2018? Fingers crossed for anything?
Fingers crossed that I'm always excited to work on next albums and stuff, but I'm excited to see how our music progresses too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm, totally. Love to do some kind of sync placement or some kind of film collaboration. That's on our bucket list. And there are so many cool sessions that we want to do. Tiny Desk has been on the list and Audio Tree and
Red Rocks.
Geek out about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're just, it's all very much in the dream world, but we still want to do it,
Don't forget about that 20-minute jazz odyssey we're going
to
write.
No, we're not.
Yes.
No.
We have to.
You have to do it. It's been said.
Veto.
I love that. We were playing a show in New York and it was right when Odyssey was coming out and one of Michael's friends came to the show. He's like, would you sign my copy of Odyssey? And he pulled out the Nintendo Switch Mario Odyssey. Oh. Did it also come out?
Super Mario Odyssey.
I was so glad that it was my buddy that did that, because I was like, I was waiting for somebody to do that, because at some point it was going to happen.
Yeah, I thought it was really wonderful. Funny.
So fingers crossed, everything's looking good. You have big aspirations, big plans. Last question. We've got Michael now. We've got Jake from the Cookies. Any new additions to the band? Keller Williams going to join the band. I know you guys played with him at BlissFest and some other stuff, but
I think for this band, we're always open to collaborations. I think we'll always be the core. But you know, we would love to. We're touring with Moonhooch this year.
Cool.
We will absolutely love to have them play saxophone on our next album.
Yeah,
just putting that out there, you know.
Collaboration is super important to us.
Yeah.
And just, you know, getting involved with as many people as we can throughout the year and in as many different ways and, you know, different players of different instruments. It's wonderful. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing who we end up, you know, connecting with this year and kind of bringing into the fold.
Sure.
I do.
Actually, I have one follow-up question because I just remembered this. So on the album cover, one of you is wearing a Wolfpack shirt, right?
Yes.
What about a Wolfpack collab?
Well, they just found out recently. Joe Dart just found out that they exist.
And he's kind of a local,
really
Harbor Springs.
Well, so we played with them up in Bel Air at the Shorts anniversary party.
We sang with them.
Yes.
We sang Huey Lewis in the News with them while they backed us
was
up.
Was that 3
on
years
Club.
Ago?
That was 3 years
ago.
Yeah. And then we covered their song Back Pocket recently on violin and cello. And we really wanted to, like, you know, we love that song, and we wanted to, like, kind of get their attention because we would love to tour with them. And so Matthew Altruda down in Ann Arbor from Treetown Sound and from Sonic Lunch, he had Joe Dart and his mom come on his radio show. And so he was telling them, they were like, all right, I'm going to show you this cover of this song by this local band, female-fronted trio band, like, been around in Michigan from Traverse City. And Joe's like, I don't know who they are.
It was so funny. So we were like,
and then as soon as he said it, he's like,
oh, it's the X-Dills.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't get that.
Like, we have a crush
on
Wolfpack. We just want them to notice us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, notice me.
No, I'm just kidding.
You gotta all wear Wolfpack t-shirts on the next album.
That's true. I wore an American Gods t-shirt.
I wore the Nerdist t-shirt.
Cool.
So, keep wearing stuff we love. Keep asking Wolfpack to marry us.
Yes.
You know.
Great. We'll keep on. Yeah, keep on keeping on. Thanks for coming on, guys. We're going to play some songs now, right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Hey, everybody. We're the Accidentals. We're here at the Record Eagle in Traverse City. We're going to play one of our original tunes off our album Odyssey. And the song is called The Sound a Watch Makes When Enveloped in Cotton. Everything is so cold. Back. And it all happened so fast.
Oh.